Good morning. It's great to see everyone out there. I'd like to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity to stand before you this morning and bring to you a message from the Word of God. I haven't preached a lot in my career, in my life. I have been a faithful member of the church since I was 10 years old. I grew up in Indiana, just like Ken did, but it won't be as eloquent coming from me this morning as what Ken does. I have been in the military for 15 years, so my wife says when I speak, it sounds like a military briefing. So I hope you're prepared for that. I'm also a recruiter right now, so if you want to join the Army Medicine team, just let me know. But what we're here for this morning on this glorious, beautiful spring morning is to talk about the Lord's Supper. In this hour, we're going to spend devoting our hearts and our minds back to the sacrifice that Jesus made, to the ultimate sacrifice that we all know and love and are so thankful for. And so to start... That's not a clicker. Maybe this is it. Nope. Okay. We'll just go next slide. That works for me. Let's all turn our Bibles to Matthew 26, verse 26 through 29. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Thank you. "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew with you in my Father's kingdom." This is what we're gathered here for this morning. And that's the Lord's Supper right there being instituted. But let's look at it from another perspective, from the book of Luke. Luke 22, 14 through 16. "And then when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover before you, before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled of the kingdom of God." This Passover was special to Jesus. He gathered his disciples together to set forth this memorial. He desired to do this. Our Savior. And the importance of observing this memorial correctly is evident. 1 Corinthians 11:27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So it's pretty important, right? Something that our Lord instituted for us to observe a memorial, that He desired to do that. And then over in 1 Corinthians where it tells us we'll be guilty of the body and blood if we partake of this memorial in an unworthy manner. So let's talk about that a little bit this morning. Let's talk about what the meaning of the Lord's Supper is. I have 4 points. The first is the obvious one, right? It is a remembrance of Christ's body and blood. 1 Corinthians 11:24. "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink in remembrance of me." It is a memorial for us to take just a few minutes out of your busy schedule to think back to the cross, to remember why we are Christians, to remember the plan that God had for us, to remember that Jesus left heaven and came to this earth and lived as a man, and gave himself willingly on the cross as a sacrifice for our sins, that we can have a hope of heaven someday. Because without his sacrifice, it wouldn't be possible. But in verse 26, it says something very interesting. Let me reread that. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, hang on. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. This is us observing the Lord's Supper is a proclamation. But what is it a proclamation of? It's a proclamation of his death, his sacrifice, of his propitiation, and that we have the ability to have our sins forgiven. But it's also a proclamation of his life. Because where he says, until I will eat with you again in heaven, which means he's still living. That after 3 days, he arose from the grave and he ascended into heaven to prepare a home for us in the future. So not only are we remembering his death this morning, but we're also remembering his resurrection. The Lord's Supper is also a communion. 1 Corinthians 10:16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Communion is coming together. Communion is sharing and taking part in. It's not sitting at home in front of the television watching a preacher on TV. It's coming together. It's partaking of the bread and remembering his body upon the cross. And it's partaking of the cup, which is his blood that was sacrificed for us and that was shed for the remission of our sins. In verse 17 it continues, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So not only is it a communion with Christ, but it's a communion with the person to your left and right, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, who each of us here this morning have a hope to spend eternity with each other in heaven singing praises to our Father. And you can't do that when you're not here with us to commune with your brothers and sisters. And the last meaning of the Lord's Supper I want to look at is the Passover. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We begin teaching our little ones the story of Moses in Egypt and the plagues, and they love that story. Right? And the last plague was the death of the firstborn. But how were the children of Israel saved from that angel of death that came that night? They sacrificed a lamb and spread the blood on the doors, and that kept them safe. It gave them deliverance. Well, Christ is our Passover lamb. It gives us the promise of a new life. It gives us deliverance from the bondage of sin. Just like the lamb's blood protected the children of Israel from the angel of death, Christ's blood protects us from sin. And it provides us a pathway to salvation. But what makes the bread and the juice before us this morning the Lord's Supper? And again, I have 4 points. The first point is we must observe the Lord's Supper at the right time. In Acts 20 and 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We have an apostolic example right there. That we're to do this on the first day of the week. And back in 1 Corinthians 11, 18 through 20. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that you be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in this one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh the other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. We're not here to have a meal. We have homes to do that in. But the church here is being rebuked because they're not partaking a Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. But when were they doing this? Well, that can be found in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. So again, we see that the church gathered on the first day of the week. And that is when they were being rebuked for partaking of the Lord's Supper incorrectly. But we do know that they were taking that Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. So we have what makes the bread and juice the Lord's Supper is observing it at the right time, but it's also partaking of it at the right place. In 1 Corinthians 11 again. I keep reiterating the same passages for a reason. Because as you look at it from a different perspective each time, it reveals something else to you. In verse 18, first of all, when ye come together in the church, that means the right place is here with your brothers and sisters in Christ. With the assembling of the saints. It is not at home. It is not on the fishing boat when you're out on the lake by yourself. Say, oh, I want to take the Lord's Supper. No. How can you be in communion with your brothers and sisters if you're not here, gathered together with the saints? There's no indication anywhere in the New Testament that Paul ever partook of the Lord's Supper by himself. When Christ implemented it, he wasn't by himself. And all the examples that Paul gives us, he wasn't by himself. He's with brothers and sisters in Christ. So at the right place and the right time, and with the right elements. And you can spend an hour talking about just the right elements and all the different meanings. But there in 1 Corinthians 11, starting verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. I'm sorry, starting in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which he also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And what kind of bread was that? It was unleavened bread. Because they were observing the Passover feast. And Christ implemented a new memorial with that same unleavened bread and the same cup, the same fruit of the vine. And he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we have before us the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. There's nothing magical. It doesn't magically turn into Christ's body as the Catholic Church proclaims. But when we are in the right place, on the right day, gather with the brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're partaking of it in the right elements, it begins to become something extremely special. But we have to partake of the Lord's Supper with the right attitude. We have to observe it with the right mindset. Picking up in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink that cup." So what is the right attitude? We must partake the Lord's Supper with understanding, or with discernment. The Scripture tells us not to take it in an unworthy manner. Well, what's that mean? Well, another translation says without discerning. Without understanding what the bread and the cup represent to us. If we are just taking it as a snack, it's not the right attitude. As a common meal, as Paul rebuked the Corinthians, it's not the right attitude. And so this morning, I'd like to challenge each and every one of you to think about these things. The Lord's Supper is the remembrance of the body and the blood. It is a proclamation not only of His death, but also His life. That we have a hope of heaven someday. That we are communing not only with the Lord, but with our brothers and sisters in Christ as we partake of it. And remember that Christ is our Passover lamb. That without His sacrifice, we have no hope of heaven. And think about as you partake this morning, what makes this bread and this juice the Lord's Supper? That we're taking it at the right time, in the right place, with the right elements, and with the right attitude. That we, with understanding and self-examination, can look into our hearts and make sure that we are thinking back to that cross, to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And that as you eat that bread, that you're thinking about His body. It was torn apart on the cross. And that the blood that was spilled for our sins. In Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." So this morning, brothers and sisters, I ask that you join me and your fellow brothers and sisters as we partake of the Lord's Supper.